Let us open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made it winepress in it, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could I have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. So in Isaiah 5, in its context, the Lord expects the fruits from his vineyard, but it didn't bring forth the fruits, for fruits is specifically, it talks about justice, but they brought oppressions to the poor, and there was cry for help, and so on. I'm going to go to Mark chapter 11, which also talks about vineyard. We'll read the last part of Mark chapter 11, which gives a little bit of background, and we will read up to chapter 12, verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man," they feared the people, for they counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for a wine vat, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, He sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, "They will respect my son." But those vine dressers said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to the others. To others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. So far, reading of the infallible Word of God. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, once upon a time there were two men in one city. One rich, the other poor. The rich man had many possessions. He had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except a little ewe lamb. For this poor man, this lamb was pretty much everything. The lamb ate of his own food and drank from his own cup. It was like a daughter to him. And one day there was a traveler came to the rich man. In the ancient world, usually when there is a guest, a man would take one of his flock to prepare a meal and to give to his guest. But this rich man, he refused to take from his own flock to prepare a meal. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Brothers and sisters, can you guess where this story came from? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Actually, the story came from 2 Samuel 12. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. David killed Uriah by sending him to the most dangerous spot in the battle. During the battle, and the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to David, and this is the parable that Nathan told to David. So David heard the parable, and he became, according to 2 Samuel 12, he became very angry, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this treacherous thing, he shall surely die. He shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did these things, because he had no pity." So you can sense that David was extremely angry, ready to do the justice. And then, all of a sudden, here comes the shocking reality. Nathan said to David, "You are the man. You are the rich man in the story." Nathan explains, God of Israel is telling you that God is saying, "I anointed you as king over Israel. I saved you. I delivered you from the hands of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping. And if it had been too little, I would have given you much more. But why? Why have you despised my commandments And do it is evil in the sight of the Lord. You have killed Uriah the Hittite, and you have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon, and you have taken his wife to be your wife. In other words, Lord has granted you, look at this, all these things that you're enjoying right now, yet you coveted, you despise his commandment. Why did you do this? You are the man, Nathan said. Can you imagine how shocking it was to David? Can you imagine his facial expressions? David knew that it was evil to do such thing. The rich man was evil. He knew that. The man who has done this shall surely die, he said. Now, the passage that we read in this morning, Mark chapter 12, it has a parable. And this parable is called the parable of the wicked tenants. And this parable is so much similar to the one that Nathan told to David, because both these parables are designed to target a specific audience. Both parables are designed to prickle the conscience of the specific people, convict them of their sin. If you think about it, isn't that what the preaching is supposed to do? You see, in Nathan's case, David's case, Nathan caught David who committed adultery, murder, and lies when he said, "You are the man." And in here, in our text, Jesus is doing sort of the same thing to the chief priests and teachers of the law and then elders, pointing and convicting their arrogance and their wrongdoings through this parable, equating them to the wicked tenants. So here's the theme and the points. Jesus confronts the religious leaders and with the parable of the wicked tenants. In the parable, we see the owner's forbearance, how patient he is, we'll see. A second point, the tenant's foolishness. And the third point, the owner's wrath. So we wonder, why did Jesus tell this parable? The content is a bit disturbing, I would say. We wonder, what is it that caused him to speak to them in this parable? And chapter 12, verse 1 starts with the word, then. Then he began to speak to them in parables. That word indicates that there's an inseparable relationship between the end of Mark chapter 11 and this parable. So Mark chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus and disciples came again to Jerusalem. He was walking in the temple, and then there were some people came. It was the chief priests and scribes and the elders, the political leaders, the religious leaders. It's really shocking if you think about it. They're ordained men. They were supposed to be pious men. They're supposed to know God's word upside down, everything in Torah, and they should be knowledgeable. They came, but they said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to these things?" These things. They're talking about the incident that just happened previously. Remember previously, he just cleansed the temple. He drove out the merchants, those who were buying and selling in the temple. And he claimed, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." So the priests and the scribes asked, "Look, by what authority did you do that? By what authority did you drive the merchants out of the temple? By what authority did you overturn the tables of money changers?" We know the priests and the scribes, they came with one purpose: to destroy him. The motivation was already revealed in chapter 11, verse 18. The scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. This is not the first time that talks about his authority. Already in Mark chapter 1 and Mark chapter 2, beginning from the gospel itself, Jesus taught and people knew right away. He didn't teach like the scribes. He taught like the one who has authority. And that was the question. By what authority are you doing these things? And this is what triggered Jesus to tell the parable. And Jesus began to tell this parable by saying, a man planted a vineyard. He all of a sudden talks about vineyard. He planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for wine vat, and built a tower. He rented to the vine dressers, and went away to far country. And we read from Isaiah chapter 5. The verse 1 of the parable, the first verse of the parable, almost sounds like a direct quotation from Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest wine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it, and he expected bring good grapes, but it brought wild grapes. And it is clear from the Isaiah passage that the vineyard represents Israel. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. It's clear from the text, the passage, Isaiah passage. And also the additional details, the description of the vineyard details, like the tower and the wine press. It's pretty similar to Isaiah passage. It can be understood as the temple and its altar. Specifically, it points to the temple in Jerusalem. Later in our text, verse 12 makes it clear the parable was intended to convict the priests and the scribes who were closely related to this temple. They knew that he had spoken the parable against them. So he began to tell this story, and then the story is shocking and very disturbing. According to the parable, the vineyard was leased, rented to the vine dressers, the tenants. The owner went into a far country. Verse 2 says, the owner sent a servant to the tenants to collect some good that he might receive some of the fruits of vineyard from the tenants, which is the right thing to do. But instead of giving fruits, the tenants took the servant and beat him, sent him away empty-handed. But the owner sent another servant, and this time at him they threw stones, wounded him in head, fatal injury, sent him away shamefully treated. The owner sent the third time one of his servants, and this time they killed him. And many others, beating some and killing some. Now, when we read this parable and just read quickly, and you think what's the big deal? But think about it. The person was dead. The servant was killed. This is not a small matter. So what is this parable about? Well, this parable, brothers and sisters, reflects the real human history. In other words, this parable is God's assessment of human history. This is a panorama picture of the whole redemptive history summarized by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how he would assess the wickedness of the covenant, his covenant people, and the redemptive history. The owner of a vineyard is, of course, God himself. The tenants are his covenant people, privileged people. Remember the hedge around it that God has invested so much, gave him the law and the knowledge and the promise. And throughout the history, the owner tries to reach out to the wicked tenants again and again by sending his servants. Despite the disobedience of the tenants, God is patient. He endures again and again, giving another chance to his covenant people to bear fruits. This is the reflection of how God dealt with his people in the Old Testament. The servants represent the prophets and the preachers. They brought the message of the truth, message of repentance. But what do we find here? The tenants, they took them, beat them and sent him away and killed them, wounded him in the head. So why is Jesus telling us that? Why was Jesus telling them this story? Well, one lesson that they were supposed to learn, we can learn, is this. Jesus is telling how patient and how merciful God is. Why is he so patient? Have you ever thought about it? Why is he so patient, sending another prophet again and again? Because he really wants to see the fruits. He patiently waits for your fruits of repentance. He patiently waits for your confession of your sin. He patiently waits for you to turn away from your evil ways. Look at how many servants he sent. Throughout the redemptive history, he is incredibly patient. And here's another significant lesson. Brothers and sisters, just because he is a patient, just because he waits for you to bear fruits, it does not mean you can take advantage out of his patience. I mean, think about it. Why would he want you to know that he is a patient so that you can be lazy? The reason why Jesus is telling you how patient God is not to make you lazy or to make you procrastinate. He's telling you how patient God our Father is so that you may see the truth. So you may be thankful for his mercy and goodness so that you may truly repent of your sin immediately and turn your steps away from your evil ways. By seeing how benevolent our God is drawing you to come to him. He looks for actual fruits. Fruit of faith. Trust. Fruit of love. That you love God with everything you have and your neighbor. He looks for the fruits of justice, that you may treat others fairly. He's looking for fruits of mercy. Mercy to those who are helpless, as Isaiah chapter 5 says. And most of all, he looks for fruits of obedience. This leads to the second point, the tenants' foolishness. Obviously, the tenants in the parable, they represent the Jewish leaders, the priest, and the scribes. As I said, just as the prophet Nathan confronted David directly with his parable, Jesus is doing the same thing to the priests and the scribes. So what was their problem? It is pretty clear in our passage, in the parable, the problem, their foolishness, was their stubbornness. They were just not willing to listen. Instead, they were looking for an excuse to refute the Son of God. They just wanted to refuse the servants and even the Son. Remember, the priests and the scribes initially asked Jesus by challenging him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Unless you give a certificate, we are not going to listen to you. That's what they were saying. You can see they came to him, not because they were truly interested in him, but because rather they wanted to persecute him. They were only interested in their own authority. You see that back in verse 18 of chapter 11. The scribes and chief priests heard and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because the people were astonished at his teaching. They were jealous. They were primarily concerned. Jesus exposing their sin. Their position and their authority were threatened. And they didn't like it. So they came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. In response, Jesus said, I will also ask you one question, then answer me. I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And he mentions someone. The baptism of John. John, the messenger who testified about Jesus Christ. He is the witness. Was it from heaven? Or was it from men? Answer me, he said. If you can't answer, I will answer your question. John's baptism, is it from heaven or from men? This man, respected man of God, who was killed by Herod for speaking the truth, was his ministry God-ordained or man-ordained? Here, Jesus is putting them into a dilemma. You see, if they acknowledge John's baptism was from heaven, they would be confessing that Jesus was God's Messiah, because John the Baptist testified about Jesus Christ. He testified that Jesus was the Messiah. He is the promised Lamb of God who takes away sin of the world, John said. And Jesus would reply, if John was from heaven, why did you not believe him? In other words, why did you not believe his testimony about me? If they say John was from man, they fear the people, for all people counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So what is happening here? The scribes and the priests, they feared the people. Here in the crucial moment, the Holy Spirit reveals us the truth, their dark secrets. They fear the people, which just proves that their authority came from people, not from God. So they didn't know what to say. They were in this dilemma, and so they said, we don't know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. And then Jesus tells this parable. He reveals their foolishness by revealing the foolishness of the tenants. The priests, the scribes, they refused to recognize the authority of Jesus Christ, just as the tenants refused to recognize and acknowledge the authority of the owners and the prophets. They killed the prophets. They denied the authority of the owner. The Lord tried to correct their arrogance and mistakes, but they didn't listen. That was their mistake. The foolishness of the tenants, their heart was hardened. They were so stubborn. Instead, they were saying, by what authority? Tell us. You see, when God wants to correct the wrongdoings of his people through the mouth of the prophets in the Old Testament, and then through the mouth of the preachers, nowadays people say, by what authority are you telling me? Who are you thinking that you know better than I do? By what authority? Tell us. You see these days that some people, and many people indeed, in other churches, they love to move their membership right away to other churches. in order to flee church discipline. See, when their sin is exposed, instead of listening, instead of repenting, they go away. What authority are you condemning me? There's another church. What's happening is that they're more concerned about their reputation and their honor, their position in the church. They're more worried about being humiliated than facing the truth. They choose to leave church rather than choosing the repentance. See, behind all this, you can see there's this old enemy, sin of pride. See, these days when preachers preach God's word, when it convicts a people's heart and sin, generally there are two responses. It's very simple, to listen or not to listen. Some people truly listen, some people don't. And you know, there are many types of hearing problems. I was looking at an advertisement saying the hearing problems come with age, which is true. And that problem you can solve somewhat with the hearing aid and so on. But I would say there's another kind of hearing problem, and this is a serious one. I call that selective hearing problem. You can select whether you want to listen or you don't want to listen. And this one does not come with age. Because I can tell you that it could come to anyone as young as a little toddlers and as old as grandpa and grandma. Because this selective hearing problem, it's not really a hearing problem, it's a problem of heart. You choose not to listen. It is a serious problem. That was the main problem of the tenants. It was the main problem of the priests and the scribes. Their heart was hardened, not willing to listen. See, in the parable, the owner of the vineyard kept on sending his servants continually, one by one, again and again. They testified, they told God's truth, they told what to do, love God, repent. But what did they do? Ignore. I don't want to listen. Be quiet. If they don't, kill them. What is shocking, what's really shocking about this parable is that Jesus is directing and convicting those ordained men, religious men. By telling this story, Jesus is pointing out one thing. Remember the old prophets like Jeremiah, those prophets were persecuted. The last prophet, the priest Zechariah, was killed. By this parable, Jesus was pointing out one thing. You who are listening to me, you are just like your fathers. You are just like your forefathers who stoned the prophets. You are just like your fathers, the murderers who killed the prophets. Just like your fathers, you were not listening. That was the foolishness of the tenants. And this leads to the last point, the owner's wrath. Finally, he has only one left to send. The son he loves. The owner said, they will respect my son. But the tenants said among themselves, look, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And see, finally, they reveal their stupidity. They're incredibly stupid, believing that when they kill the heir, the vineyard will become theirs. So they killed him, threw him out of the vineyard. So what is happening here is that Jesus is sending a message to the priests and the scribes. At this moment that he was telling the story, he's sending a message. By telling this portion of the parable, Jesus is saying, I know what you're about to do. I know what you're planning. He knew their hatred, their jealousy, their arrogance. He knew they were going to kill him. And that is a big mystery of this parable. I mean, put yourselves in the shoes of the owner that you have. You own the vineyard, and the wicked tenants not listening, not only not listening, but kept on killing your servants, stoned him. And this owner is still reaching out, incredibly patient, and looking at the wicked behavior of these tenants is meaningless to send more servants. It's a meaningless. But the mystery is God still does. God still did. And he sent his son, hoping that they would respect his son. Another mystery is that Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to die, but he still continued on his journey to the cross. It is obvious from the parable, he knew that tenants will kill the son. In fact, Jesus knew it from the beginning. They were planning to and plotting against him. However, our Lord Jesus Christ knew very well also that this, even though very disturbing, this will serve. In doing this, they were simply serving the ultimately God's sovereign purpose. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Have you not even read this scripture from Psalm 118? The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." What Jesus is saying is that by killing the son, the priests and the scribes were only fulfilling the God's ultimate redemptive plan. However, just because they participated in this redemptive plan with their wicked plot, it does not mean they will go unpunished. What will the owner of vineyard do? Jesus asked. He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to the others. He will take out the hedge and give to the another owner. Sorry, another tenants. And this was fulfilled in 70 AD when Jerusalem and temple was destroyed. See, this parable particularly applies to the churches today. Israel was chosen by God to fulfill God's gracious purpose for the whole world. God equipped them specially for these tasks. They had a privilege, they had access to God's word, but the leaders of Israel became proud and corrupt. God requires our place of worship to be a house of all the nations. You can see that he fulfills that by taking out the hedge and giving to the vineyard to the other tenants, assuming that other than the people of Israel. God also requires our community to be forgiving as Mark 11:25 says, "If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you." God requires his community to be faithful to God and love God with all our hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves. He wants to see fruits, visible fruits from you. In other words, God expects the vineyard, which is God's community, God's covenant community, to be accepting, prayerful, The temple is a house of prayer, forgiving and loving. And most of all, this community in the New Testament is built around His Son, the cornerstone. But there is a warning. If we are not accepting, but if we become very exclusive, like the priest and the scribes, and thinking that we are the only one, and if we are not prayerful and not forgiving, but proud and extremely legalistic, then we are making the same mistakes as the priest and the scribes did. They ended up rejecting the Son of God, our cornerstone. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that God will sustain us to be faithful to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, that we pray that at this moment that you, as you have given us the truth and the gospel and also the precious word, we earnestly desire and ask you that you would lift up the curtains, the blindness of our hearts, that we may see our errors, that we may turn to you, also so that we may learn from the history, that we think, sometimes we think we are the best, or sometimes we think we are doing everything fine. But Lord, help us to be reformed day by day. After all, without your guidance, that we are filled with errors and mistakes. So we pray that you would help us. Help us to have a desire to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Take away our pride and arrogance. And help us to wake up and recognize the urgency that we just heard, the warnings. That we pray that let this warning awake us, that we may be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.